This is the Book Club at 91.7. I'm Mark Purcell. Thanks for tuning in this morning. On the phone with me is a fellow whose parenting advice you may have benefited from if you'd read his book, Eight Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter. But more than likely, you know his name from a couple of best-selling books, A Dog's Purpose and A Dog's Journey. W. Bruce Cameron's new novel is The Dog Master, a novel of the first dog, and it gives me pleasure to welcome W. Bruce Cameron to the Book Club at 91.7. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning. Great to be here.
I wanted to ask, how did A Dog's Purpose, your books A Dog's Purpose and A Dog's Journey, lead to your new book, The Dog Master? What was the journey you took in going through those books to this one?
Yeah, it wasn't exactly a straight path, but it was close to it. I had written these humor books, among them, and you mentioned Eight Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter, which became an ABC series. But then I wrote this book, A Dog's Purpose, and it was my big book. It spent 52 weeks in the New York Times bestseller list. I still get emails from people every single day. It's touched a nerve. People just really felt like it connected them to their dogs. I'm flattered and gratified that that's what happened. But it did sort of turn me into the dog book guy. And I have to be careful to say that my books have a lot more than just dogs going on in them. But they do have dogs on the cover, and they're all pretty dog-centric in terms of trying to find a way to tell a story that includes our four-legged friends at the heart of it.
Well, and you are an animal lover, a dog lover at heart. I know from the stuff on your website and Facebook and the like. Dogs a big part of your life.
Dogs are a big part of my life. My dog, Tucker, serves as my muse and my guardian. He sits at my feet. He's 25 pounds of scruff, and he's rescued. I serve on the board of an animal rescue that is the one that found him in the paper box. Life is Better Rescue in Denver, Colorado. We specialize in saving death row animals that the shelters have called and said, we're going to euthanize these today. Would you like to swing by? And we often do, and we, especially if they just need medical attention, which the shelter can't afford, we can provide that medical attention. Or if they need to be re-socialized, a lot of times we can do that as well. So that's the work that we do, and that's centered in Denver.
Well, A Dog's Purpose and A Dog's Journey were different takes on our four-legged friends, but The Dog Master, very different from those two books. It's set in the Upper Paleolithic period, where man and canines are first meeting and coming together. Where did you come up with the idea for The Dog Master?
Yeah, I think it was my dog, Tucker, because I read somewhere that it did not matter what breed of animal you have, whether it be a pug or a dachshund or a chihuahua, they all have wolf DNA in them because they're all descended from wolves. Now, my dog is afraid of plastic bags and the wind, and when the UPS man knocks on the door, he hides in the closet and barks. He knows that in there he's safe. So I thought, how is there wild animal wolf stitched in this dog? How is that possible? And then I read, as you said, it was the Upper Paleolithic, which sounds pretty dry and scientific, but actually it was brutal and dramatic. The time period in which The Dog Master is set is probably the most dangerous period of time for human beings ever in our existence on this planet. You think about climate change that we're talking about today with perhaps a degree or two. We're talking about 7-degree swings year to year. It might have a summer where it snowed all summer long because the ice age was descending from the north, and it was building up what would be glaciers more than a mile thick. And this changed everything for us. It pushed us out of the trees. We humans have been living in the trees. Pushed us out on the steppes where we had to contend with beasts of speed and tooth and claw that were monsters compared to today's predators. We're talking about a lion that had a paw the size of a man's head and a bear that was as big as an elephant, but it could run 45 miles an hour. And these animals were, we think we have a bad commute today. These animals represented what we had to deal with out there on the steppes. So when I was looking into this, I realized that another predator we had to deal with was the wolf itself. We were not friends automatically with these animals. They were our mortal enemies. They saw us as lunch. We were weak and slow and probably pretty tasty. So when I tried to figure out how could it be that this little animal at my foot is my best friend in the world and he's descended from that first relationship, the best theory I could read about was all wrong. It was as if it was written by people who didn't think it through, because the idea is that we were sitting around the campfire and we saw these wolves in the background and we said, hey, let's throw them some meat. But that would never have happened. If the reason the wolves were circling the campfire is they were trying to work up the nerve to come in and take our children. And we were starving. We would not have shared our dinner with these beasts. No, for this to happen, for us to make friends with this creature, something extraordinary and unique must have come to us so that we could make this friendship, and that is that's the basis for the Dog Master.
W. Bruce Cameron, his new novel is The Dog Master, a novel of the first dog. You can learn more about it at WVXU.org. And while it does have dog in the title, this is as much about the people at the time, too, Bruce. You spend quite a bit of the book, and it's thought-provoking to read about the conditions that these human beings were trying to exist in. You mentioned the climate there and the predators and trying to eat. It was a very challenging time for humans. What kind of research did you do into Paleolithic life?
Yeah, this was what was so fascinating. I suppose, like everyone else, I thought of cavemen as being these brutish creatures with these big sloping foreheads. It turns out that there were those creatures running around. Those were the Neanderthals, and they were on the continent at the same time we were. They were faster and stronger, and they had bigger brains, so they were probably smarter than we are. And yet we wound up in the driver's seat, and they're extinct. And I think it's because of our partnership with the wolves. But yes, we had a very extraordinary life, but we were us. And what I mean by that is when I look at the evidence, we were the people we are today, a reconstructed body of a skeleton that they unearthed. What was applied? They applied the forensic science to it, where they can reconstruct the face so that they can make it look like that it did when it was alive. And this guy, if he walked in to order a pizza, you wouldn't even hesitate to seat him. He didn't look anything different. He just looked like us, because they were us. And they had the same feelings and emotions, and that means things like love and betrayal, murder and tribal warfare, all those things would have been taking place. So the Dog Master, exactly right, has to incorporate both the lives of the wolves, but then also the lives of the tribes that were existing at the same time in order to get a real flavor for how this dramatic development took place in our human history.
I loved a line in your afterword. Well, you always write so tongue-in-cheek, and I always get smiles reading your work, Bruce, but I love the line, and here's what we can say for certain about any specific individual human being in this extraordinary time in our history: nothing. And it's really true. So I imagine that would give you a little leeway in this historical fiction book.
It was quite the draw, quite the attraction for a novelist like myself when I contemplated writing The Dog Master, to suppose that it's based in fact. We know this really happened, and yet we really have no idea what happened. We have no idea how it happened. So I was able to plunge into the world of my own imagination to contemplate the lives of these people, the lives of the wolves, and how they might possibly have intersected.
Well, you also talk about, you know, you did use artistic license, but you did try to base this on scientific facts. So what kind of research did you do to bring this story to life and try to remain at least close to what really might have happened?
You know, there's an awful lot of material out there that is free and easy to access, and also you can go to the library, and also you can go to the bookstore. And the wealth of knowledge that we've accumulated about this time is really quite impressive. There are people who spend their entire lives studying bones in the dirt just to give us a sense of where we came from. And I tried, as best I could to be consistent with current theory, being, as I did so, well aware of the fact that things change. So when I wrote The Dog Master, when I conceived of it, I was writing about what I thought was the state of current theory, but that will evolve over time. And it could be someday people will pick up The Dog Master and just laugh and say, yeah, you know, word of the Neanderthals, ha ha, I don't know what they'll say.
Well, I noticed among the press materials I received with the book was an article in Scientific American, and I noticed that it talks about what we do know about man and dog and their relationship, that the earliest undisputed dog on record is just 14,000 years old, and they found this dog in a grave, much like the opening scene in The Dog Master.
Yeah, the opening scene of The Dog Master sets the stage for the world we're about to plunge into with the discovery of what they believe to be the very first dog. And, of course, this is fiction. The dog does have a collar, or at least has some ferrous material around its neck, which mimics what was seen drawn in a cave wall. And all of this is explained then through the course of The Dog Master. You get clues as to who this dog might really be. And then the dog is buried with a man. They're buried side by side. And when I say dog, I'm talking domesticated wolf. It's the first dog, and then the question is, well, who is the man? And so that is the central mystery we set out to solve with the first part of The Dog Master.
Very thought-provoking. I mean, thinking about the human's life back in that period and, you know, the relationship with the animals as it went along. Do you hope that the book will change the way people think about dogs?
Well, I hope that is true of all of my books, because I think dogs and our species came together at this point in history and then remained entwined with each other ever since. I believe that we wouldn't be here if it weren't for our partnership with the dog. I literally believe that once we had this disruptive technology by our side, that instead of stalking and hurling our weapons at elk, which would, another name for an elk is a giant deer, because these things were massive. They were like moose.
Yes.
And then, you know, you can't bring down an animal like that with a couple of wooden spears with stones tied to the end. So this thing would take off bleeding. And then we'd have to chase it. And, you know, you can picture trying to chase down a moose. That's a kind of a big challenge. By the time we caught up with it, other animals would have picked up the blood trail, and we might be facing a pride of lions. So everything changed when we had a pursuit animal on our side. When we got the wolf, then that animal was easily brought down because it was wounded, and the wolves instinctively would worry that wound and would try to stop the elk. And then by the time we caught up with it, it was being guarded by a pack of wolves, and there isn't a lion that's going to want to mess with a pack of wolves. So we changed the entire formula of our hunting capability with this one technology, this introduction of the wolf. And I think it also changed the way we looked at the planet. At the time The Dog Master is written, this is just getting started. But what it embraces is this idea that we're not just another animal out there trying to scratch out a life on the plains and barely making it. We are masters of our world. We started thinking about other things we could domesticate. There were horses running around. They're not really a big deal in the Dog Master. But other tribes might very well have been feeding exclusively on horse flesh and wondering, what would happen if we caught one of these things? And what about plants? Why do we have to always go where they are? What if we've noticed that where we eat some plants, the next year there's evidence that they sprang up from that very spot. Maybe there's a connection we can make there. So, yeah, when what the Dog Master tracks back to is this pivotal moment in the existence of our species, and I really think it the pivot, the thing that we are actually completely dependent upon for our change, is our partnership with the wolf.
From reading the book, I recognize that there were some questions answered, but a lot of questions left. Are you going to consider pursuing the storyline that the Dog Master begins?
I would certainly certainly love it. If the opportunity came my way to write a sequel or a series, I think it's just a great, rich area for me. Lots of great characters were still running around at the end of The Dog Master. I tied up a lot of storyline, but there's a lot left to go that I would like to continue with. So short answer is yes, I would love to write a sequel to The Dog Master.
Thank you for your time this morning. Appreciate it, Bruce.
Thank you for having me, Mark.
W. Bruce Cameron. His book is The Dog Master, a novel of the first dog. His best-selling book, A Dog's Purpose, is being made into a movie by DreamWorks. You might see that in the Cineplex before too long. If you'd like to learn more about The Dog Master and Bruce's other work, you can visit our website, wvxu.org. This is The Book Club at 91.7. You've been listening to The Book Club at 91.7. Technical director for the show is Rick Andrus. Producer is Kevin Reynolds. Assistant producer is Catherine Cunningham. Web guru is Jim Nolan. And I'm Mark Purcell. Children's author and illustrator Will Hillenbrand visits The Book Club at 91.7 next weekend. We'll talk about his newest Bear and Mole book and other projects, and share what it's like to connect with young readers at Books by the Banks. Will Hillenbrand next Saturday morning on The Book Club at 91.7. Stay tuned for Weekend Edition on the way next on 91.7 WVXU.